Carmela, you know how every once in a while something comes along that just changes your mind?
Well, yeah.
You know, like Brussels sprouts. Like, what? You used to hate Brussels sprouts, know, and now you love Brussels sprouts.
That's kind of different. They didn't just, like, come along and change my mind.
Well, anyway, we're here to talk about a wine that's like the Brussels sprouts of the wine world.
Oh, my.
Right. Actually, that kind
of
sounds bad.
I don't really... two of them together... Yeah,
I think we can come up with something better than Brussels sprouts of the wine world. But let's get to the show.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to the Wine Pair Podcast. I'm Joe, your sommelier of reasonably priced wine, and this is my wife and my wine pairing partner in crime, Carmela.
Hi there.
And we are the Wine Pair.
Hooray!
I can't tell if I should do the hello or if I should just do something,
but it doesn't matter. When you do it the other way, it just throws me off. I don't know.
Well, that's the whole point. Okay. A quick orientation for those of you who may be new to the podcast. In each episode, we learn about taste and give our honest review of three wines that are reasonably priced, which means under $20 and should be easy for you to find. And our podcast is made for people like us, Carmela. Mm-hmm. People who love wine, want to learn more about wine and find new wines to explore, and maybe just feel a little bit more confident when we talk about and order wines.
Okay.
So if that sounds like you,
you're in the right place.
That's right. And we invite you to taste these wines or a wine from your stash along with us while you listen as a fun way to participate.
Right. To feel like you're in the podcast. Like you're involved.
I can see you. You're sitting right between us.
Right. And you can just banter with us.
Thank you. Thanks for being here. And we are proud to say that we are officially recommended by the editors of Decanter Magazine, who call us fun, irreverent,
chatty,
and entertaining.
Woo!
Carmela, this week we're going to talk about a wine that I think may be a little underrated.
Okay, and which wine is that?
Well, it's Brussels sprouts. No, I'll be honest, about 5 years ago, this wine wasn't even, I don't even think it was a wine on our list. I don't even think it was on our radar.
But it's been around a long time.
Oh, a long time. And we're going to talk about that. And that wine is Zinfandel.
Ooh, and sometimes,
sometimes I'll say it weird, like Zinfandel or something, but it's Zinfandel.
Okay. Did you ask somebody?
No.
Did you look it up?
No, I just pronounce things weird every once in a while.
Okay.
I know. And then I'm a stickler about pronunciation. Right. Okay. I also think that we've been a little bit on a Zinfandel streak for the past week. So like we had Mark and Heather, our friends over on Saturday, we had a Zinfandel.
Ah.
And then your parents, we went to your parents for Sunday night dinner and your dad served Zinfandel.
Gosh.
So it's like Zinfandel. Yeah. So there you go. So maybe
Zin week. It's a week of Zin.
Zin. A lot of Zinning this week. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, so maybe it's on my mind. So let's just tell our friends out there in listening land a little story of how we came to appreciate Zinfandel.
Once upon a time.
Yeah. And why I think it might be an underrated wine.
Okay.
Particularly in comparison to all the hullabaloo that's around those like California Cabernet Sauvignons that get all the attention.
I'm telling you.
All right. So the story begins with our daughter, Mariana, who attended Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo.
Aww.
And let's just say that that school and the area around it are real nice.
So nice. We fell in love.
With the area. We were already in love.
Well, I mean, we fell in love again.
There you go. It's near
maybe
both.
Maybe that was when I first fell in love with you. Have you thought of that?
No, I hope not.
I love him now that he's taken me here.
Amazing. Can I get back to the story? Okay, we've gone off the deep end already.
Whoa.
So Cal Poly is in San Luis Obispo, is right near the ocean, but also near the agricultural heart of California. And like many agricultural areas in California, there's a lot of grape growing and wine production in the area, and the wine region closest to San Luis Obispo is
Paso Robles.
You've got it. And that's something we'll talk about as well a little bit later in the episode. So, continuing the story, relatively early on in our daughter's career at Cal Poly, we would go and visit her, and one time, your parents came with us.
They did.
And as many people know, Carmela's dad is a big influence on me when it comes to wine. And I've said this many times, but he kind of introduced me to wine. Hello, wine. Nice to meet you.
Right.
Okay. So, of course.
And they fell in love. You and the wine.
With me.
Who?
No, well, hang on. You just screwed up the story. So anyway. Of course, part of
with
our
wine. I was just meaning wine.
Sure, sure.
He introduced you to wine and you fell in love with wine.
And your father. No.
Are you weird. In love with my dad?
I don't know why. This has gone so weird. Okay. So, of course, let's get back to the story. Okay. So part of having the plan, you know, part of the plan in having your parents visit was that we had to go visit a winery because there's a lot of wineries in Paso.
Right.
Right. So I really wanted to find a winery that was special. for your parents.
Okay.
And you. And so after doing some research, I found out about a winery called Turley. Mm. And they're known for having sort of a cult following for their wines. And their wines are overwhelmingly old vine Zinfandels. Mm-hmm. And by a cult following, what we mean is that their wines are highly regarded, but not super easy to get. And you have to get on their mailing list if you want to get them.
So what was it that drew you to them? Like, what was it like? Was it the whole cult thing? Was it the hard to find thing?
The cult and the hard to find go together. It was not because there was Zinfandel, because Zinfandel I didn't really know
about.
Right,
so that's
really
so interesting to me.
Yeah. So I was super curious. I'm like, oh, this is a cult wine. If we really like it, like, that's kind of a cool thing. So we went to the tasting room. You can help tell some of the story too. But we went out to Turley and beautiful wine room. And then we met this older woman.
She was awesome.
Yeah.
She was the wine guru of Turley.
Yeah. She was just doing tastings for different people. And they were super.
But she spent a lot of time with us.
Well, and then your dad, as usual, kind of schmoozed her.
Yeah. Right. Right. He's become very social in his older age.
Oh, God.
He is really social now. So we became fast friends.
Yeah. That's exactly what I wrote here. We became fast friends.
Yep.
Yeah. And we became fast friends with the wines. So that was the other part.
And I don't think we went to another winery.
We didn't. We had a whole bunch of on our list, and that was the only one we went to, and I think we spent like a while there
and a lot of money there.
I will say that I think your dad and I were both kind of surprised by the wines, because they're different than I expected. They weren't these big California fruit bombs. They were juicy, they were complex, they were food friendly, they were really delicious. They're really some of the best wines I've ever had.
So was the Zin your favorite there?
Well, that's kind of what they do. Okay. They do a few other wines, but mostly Zinfandel. So we became converts. Your dad and I bonded a little bit more over Turley Zinfandel. Wow,
who would have known you could bond anymore?
Mm-hmm. But we do find that many people are just not that familiar with Zinfandel. So that's the end of the story, by the way.
Okay.
Or if they're familiar with Zinfandel, what they may remember is something that isn't so great. So there were some crappy wines made in the 1980s, most notably led by a wine called White Zinfandel, which was poorly regarded, and it's really a rosé. But we're going to talk about that a little bit more as well. And I also think that sometimes people can't help themselves in California but to make their wine super oaky, and I think that's part of the problem as well. But we'll dig into that in a few minutes. So today, Carmela, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about Zinfandel, why it should be on your wine list, if it's underrated. We're going to taste three Zinfandels, including a Turley, which does fit under our price cap of under $20.
Surprisingly, huh?
Yeah, and that's unusual for a Turley wine. Uh-huh. But first,
we got to do our shameless plug.
That's right. So first we want to start by saying thank you very much for listening to us, for listening to our stories and supporting our show. And if you haven't had the chance to do so yet, would now be a really good time to subscribe and press that button right now.
I can't think of any other time that's better.
Come on. Mm-hmm. You just click it. It's a little subscribe button, or maybe it's a plus button. Just click it. It won't hurt.
No.
It's easy and it's free. And you can support us, and we thank all of you who have subscribed already. All of our subscribers. And another great way to support us for free is to leave a nice rating and review. And you can do that on our website, or you can do that on Apple Podcasts and other places. You can follow us and see pictures of the wines we're tasting on Instagram at the Wine Pair Podcast. And we're so hip that we're on Threads.
I don't even know what that is.
Threads is like Twitter for Instagram.
Okay.
And as I mentioned,
you figured it out.
Yeah, but a little bit. I don't know. I'm kind of being a little bit sarcastic on it. And you can
surprise.
And then you can also find us at our website, thewinepairpodcast.com. And as we do every week, we'll tell you someone we think you should tell about the Wine Pair Podcast. And this week, we want you to tell everyone about the Wine Pair Podcast.
Everyone?
Yeah, we want you to post about us on your social media of choice.
Oh my gosh.
Whatever it is. Maybe it's
just
Threads.
Find one
Maybe
of our
Instagram.
Posts.
Maybe it's Facebook. Maybe it's Twitter.
Okay, how do you want them to do it? Like, find a post they like and send it to all their contacts?
Yes, just send it out. Say, I'm listening to the Wine Pair Podcast.
And Question mark.
Exactly. And and if you add us, special, we'll shout you out.
And then they'll say, IKR.
I know, right? Okay, so anyway, that's it. What do you think?
Okay, everybody, just anybody, everybody, all the time.
We just want you to share the love that you have for us with other people.
Wow.
Spread the love.
Okay.
How about that?
No problem.
Okay, so let's talk about why Zinfandel is underrated. Carmela, what do you say?
Let's hear it.
More story time. Not really more story time, but more facts. How about some facts? So Zinfandel is one of the oldest grape varieties in the world.
Wow.
And it's also one of the oldest grape varieties in the United States. Mm. So it's known as Primitivo in Italy, and we've talked about that before. And it's also an old Croatian variety that I can't even pronounce. I've got it in the show notes.
You want to spell it?
No, because, well, the first word of it is C-R-L-J. That's how it starts. Whoa. C-R-L-J.
That's intimidating.
E-N-A-K. I don't know how to say it. Serelnak? I don't know how to say it, so I'm not going to say it.
You just said it.
There, I did. So again.
You liar.
Okay. Can I get onto it? The facts. Yes, okay. Yes. Zinfandel was first planted in the United States on the East Coast in the 1830s, and by the 1850s, it had been well established in California and brought very often by Italian immigrants.
Oh.
Because, right, Primitivo and that whole thing. Mm-hmm. So now today, old vine Zinfandels in California, they have plants that are over 100 years old and they produce some amazing grapes and they make amazing wines and they grow on these really crazy looking plants. Do you remember? They don't look like grapevines.
But they look old.
They look like old. I mean, one of the wines, we'll talk about one of the wines. It's named after it. They look like kind of crazy old men.
Yeah, I was just going to say, they're like a very old, decrepit person.
It's true. You're right. Yeah, it's like, that's old. Okay. Yes. And they're kind of spooky looking almost.
Yes, kind of Halloween-y.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, according to an article that you can find a link to in our show notes, if you go to our website and look for this episode and click on the show notes, statistics from the Historic Vineyard Society. There is a Historic Vineyard Society, by the way, Carmela.
Okay.
And they know that there are about 1,000 acres of Zinfandel vines over 100 years old in California.
Wow.
That seems like a lot.
Yeah.
Over 100 years old. That's a lot of history.
Do they ever just poop out?
I think they do, actually. Mm-hmm. I think they do, but I think you can continue to, like, if you take care of them, you graft them a little bit, I think they can go for quite a while.
Hmm.
Unfortunately, Zinfandel's reputation was pretty damaged by two things, which I alluded to a little bit earlier. First, in the 1970s, some dude named Bob Trinchero, he was the winemaker at Sutter Home, and he discovered what he called white Zinfandel kind of by accident.
Oh.
Do you remember this white Zinfandel? We've actually had some.
Maybe a little bit.
Okay, so
What
he did is he was taking the runoff juice from Zinfandel and then a batch of this white Zin. It didn't fully ferment.
Mm-hmm.
And so what he found that he had was like this low alcohol sweet wine. And people in the 1980s and 1990s
choked up.
Started going crazy for it. And it's probably the stuff that your grandma would put ice cubes in.
Okay.
It's that kind of wine.
But it's low alcohol then.
Low alcohol and sweet. And it's not very good. It's not very good.
Ooh, I don't know.
But, you know, if it's an extra sweet wine and it's low alcohol and you put some ice cubes in, you put some ice cubes in it, kind of tamps down the sweet, and you can drink it all day.
Wow. Right? So I think that's part of it. Let's do that. Let's go for it.
Right, there you go.
Okay.
And then in the 1990s, Zinfandel makers started making wines with really high alcohol levels, like 16% or more.
What? Why? Like, well, it's such a change.
I think one of the reasons why is that it would help them get better ratings. Like, sometimes these higher alcohol wines.
Because they were drunk by the time they were rating.
Maybe that's
you're like,
it.
Woo! I love anything you serve me right now.
Maybe that's it. But Zinfandel can make really high alcohol wines anyway. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes if you have a really tannic wine and you have really high alcohol, they kind of balance each other. And then you get that sort of like really intense flavor.
Right.
And I think they were trying to goose the, you know, the reviews with like, oh, it's a big, bold wine.
Oh, okay.
But I think it over...
Some strategy there.
Yeah, but I think sometimes what it does is it makes really hot and really strong wines that can sometimes turn off a wine drinker.
Is it kind of almost like a liquor or like a hard alcohol?
No, I don't think so. Okay. But I just think it's a really intense, like big mouth feel kind of wine.
Okay.
And then I think with that mixed reputation and then the rise of big oaky California Cabernets, Zinfandel just kind of got lost in the sauce. Like it's a fruit forward wine and the best versions of it are in a style that's sometimes called soft or velvety and that's got lower levels of tannin and acidity actually. And I think some people who are just kind of used to those big cabs, they just were like,
it was underwhelming maybe.
Yeah, their palates are like, we're not really, we want big, oaky, fruit forward, punch you in the face wines.
Wow.
And Zinfandel
I love
really
being punched in the face.
Exactly.
Can't wait to get punched.
Talked about that last week and I almost got in trouble for it.
Oh,
anyway,
wow.
And I do think sometimes there is a tendency in California wines to try and imitate that style. Mm. And Zinfandel is just a different style. And I think if you try to make a Zinfandel in that style, it's not as good of a wine.
Mm.
That's my opinion. That's the way I feel about it.
Okay.
In addition, Cabernets, especially in Napa and Sonoma, are just big money makers. Like they can make a lot of money and they can make more money than Zinfandel. So if you are, if you have choice to make, you're running a business, you're, you have a farm, you have a wine, you know, winemaking, what are you going to do? You're going to try to make as much money as possible.
Right.
And so I think this is another reason why Zinfandel may have like kind of fallen down in a little bit, because if you're going to put all this effort in, you might as well try to squeeze as much money out of it as you can. At least that's what a lot of people would think, right? Now, it's still the third most popular grape varietal in California, and it's a little bit more of 8% of the state's total crush volume as of 2019. That's kind of a technical, nerdy way to say it.
Wow, crush volume.
As recently as 1998, Zinfandel was the most planted grape in California.
Oh, wow.
So things actually changed pretty fast. So that's kind of interesting. I just think the Cabernet is just sort of, doesn't that feel kind of like Cabernet?
Over.
Yeah, it's kind of taken over the world.
Right. Wow. I wouldn't give them that much credit.
Of the wine world.
Okay.
Like Brussels sprouts.
Okay. Have taken over what? Brussels sprouts.
That's right.
Okay. But taken what over? What is the Brussels sprout taken over?
Green beans.
Okay.
I think it's taken over green beans.
Okay.
Who talks about green beans anymore?
Nobody.
Nobody talks.
It's true.
I bet 10 years ago, everything was like green beans.
It's
and now
big,
it's like,
it's
Brussels sprouts with bacon or whatever, parmesan.
Hipper. You're much hipper.
Oh, God, yeah.
If you're serving Brussels sprouts.
Oh, yeah,
and eating
green beans.
Yeah.
Come on, poor green beans. Poor green beans.
Are you feeling bad for the green beans?
A little bit.
I like green beans.
I do too.
Oh.
Can we get back to Zinfandel?
Yes, please.
Okay. So now, great Zinfandel from top producers like Turley and like Ridge are rich, smooth, they're complex wines, they have good mouth feel, and they go with a large variety of foods. And so my feeling about Zinfandel, good Zinfandel, is that it's underrated.
Okay.
And so I think we're going
to want to give it a chance.
We're going to find that out today, and that's why we're doing this episode. So we have three different Zinfandels, all from California, including one that's a Turley, and we're going to see if we can tell the difference between these wines and Turley wine, and we're going to see if we like them, like in general, if we like these wines. And
so
maybe
are they 100% Zinfandel?
Well, two of the three are, but one of them actually says it has just a skosh of Petit Sirah.
It says skosh?
It doesn't say skosh, but it's something like that. Hang on. I'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
Okay. So again, maybe we'll find them underrated, or maybe we'll find that they're just trying too hard to be like a California Cabernet. Mm. We're going to find out.
Okay.
All right. So yeah, should we
stand on your own two feet,
come
Zin.
Come on. Be your own Zin.
Be your own Zin.
Right.
Be proud, Zin.
Yeah. Be proud, Zin.
Come on.
Okay. So let's talk about the Zinfandel. Oh, gosh, she's hitting the mic thing. Okay, let's talk about the Zinfandels that we chose for this episode. What do you say, Carmela?
I would love to hear all about them.
Okay, so as usual, all the wines we've chosen for this episode are under $20. One of them is $20. Okay.
Oh, my. $19.99 or $20 flat?
$20.
Okay.
One is like $20.
Okay.
Which is weird. Okay. Weird.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
You don't usually see
$20 wine.
No, no. It's because that when you buy it on the website, it's like they don't need the 0.99 because it's like you just buy. Anyway,
right.
Let me get to it.
Some people think when you it's like 99.
Oh, it's that like you can, less expensive.
Yeah, exactly. You can. It's a
it's
easier
totally,
pill to swallow. It's it, like, oh, $19.99, awesome. And then $20,
that seems so expensive.
Oh,
it's totally true.
One penny more. Okay, anyway.
Okay, now at least two of them should be relatively easy to find because I bought them both at a grocery store that didn't have a great wine selection in the first place.
Hmm.
And then the last one, the Turley, can be much harder to find, but I've seen it available in the past, like on wine.com. Sometimes you can find it.
In Hawaii.
In Hawaii.
Didn't we see Turley in Hawaii? I feel like we saw it in Honolulu. And we took pictures and sent it to my dad.
We also saw it at Nice Matin in New York.
Right.
They had it on the wine menu.
That's amazing.
So there you go. So you can find it every once in a while, but it's not super easy to find a Turley.
Okay.
I mean, it's just hard to find. Okay. Now, we are going to start with the Turley because one of the things I want to do is I want to see how these wines stack up in comparison to it. Now, if we really want to do it, we do a blind taste testing. But I'm not going to do that because that might make me look stupid. So we're not going to do it.
Well, and that never happens.
Okay.
We don't want to make him look stupid.
Yeah, but first we're going to do that, Turley, and then we're going to try the other ones.
Okay.
So the wine that we're drinking today is the 2019 Juvenile Zinfandel. And as expected, this wine is not made from old vines. So here's what Turley says about it. The juvenile is actually composed of a variety of young vines that have been replanted in several of our old vine sites.
Uh-huh.
We tag the vine when we replant it so as not to mix the brand new vine with its much older neighbors. Then pick these young vines separately and make a distinct wine.
Uh-huh.
The vines that make up juvenile range in age from about 6 to 25 years, and we pull from 18 of our best vineyards across California.
Wow.
They didn't say California.
No, I
didn't.
I figured not. Huh.
Yeah, so kind of interesting. So this is juvenile. This is why it's a little bit less expensive, I think, for Truly as well. But I've found these wines to be really nice.
Okay.
The wine.
You prefer these to the old wines?
No, I wouldn't say I prefer it. I like it.
You just like it. Okay.
Yeah, I like it. The wine's also received a 92 rating from Robert Parker. So while I don't always agree with Robert Parker, 92 is a pretty high rating. Mm-hmm. And then Antonio Galloni, who I really like from Vinius, gave it a 90. So there you go. Now, Turley was founded in 1993 by a guy named Larry Turley.
Oh, Larry Turley.
Yeah. And they make about 47 different wines each year. Now, you asked this question. Most of them are old vine Zinfandels. And then they also make some Petite Syrah and some white wines. Okay. Now, all of Turley's vineyards are either, you guys also, again, you just don't know what we cut out. We cut out some things. Okay. You'll never know. Okay. All of Turley's vineyards are either certified organic or in the process of getting certified. And the winery uses all natural yeast. So how about that?
Ah,
that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
The second wine we're going to drink is one of the least expensive wines we've ever had on our show.
Oh my goodness.
But it has received some decent ratings.
Okay.
So this should be a wine that you have no trouble finding. I kind of like the label. It's called Gnarly Head Old Vine Zinfandel, and it comes from Lodi, California. And I couldn't find a professional rating for this vintage, which is the 2021. But as recently as the 2019 vintage, it had like 89 and 90 ratings from like really reputable sources.
Great.
So what I like about this wine, like we talked about, it's on the label. It does show you a drawing of what an old vine Zinfandel plant looks
like. Which are probably kind of gnarly.
They are gnarly. They are they're like, they look like an old, like a weird gnarly headed, like a really old tree, like an old haunted tree.
They are.
They kind of are.
Okay.
Yeah. And they come out, the instead of like the vine, they just kind of have these shoots that come out and the grapes grow on these shoots and then they cut them back every year. It's quite odd, I think. Hmm. Okay. I like this description too from the winery. Older vines produce fewer grape clusters, but the small berries yield intense dark fruit flavors. The grapes for this Zinfandel were harvested early in the morning while the weather is cool. Hmm. This allows the grapes to start off cool and warm up gently for fermentation. And after fermentation, the wine was racked onto French and American oak to concentrate the abundant fruit flavors and add complexity. It's kind of a cool explanation. This wine I got for $6.99.
Wow.
So
what a bargain. If we love this, even if we like it.
It's out of the park.
Yeah.
Totally. And then the last wine we're going to try is another one that I know you can find in a lot of places. It's called Seven Deadly Zins Old Vine Zinfandel.
That.
Yeah. Get it? Deadly Zins.
I get it.
Okay. And this is also a 2019. And the one thing that I'll note about Zinfandels in general is they don't need to age very long. They can age, but actually they don't age super, super long. So what's nice about a Zinfandel is you can kind of pull it off the shelf.
Mm.
A 2019 is totally ready to drink. We'll see if a 2021 is totally ready to drink.
And Zins, a lot of times you can drink them cool, right?
You can, but I don't know. They're pretty high in alcohol.
Like a cellar temp.
Cellar temp. Yeah. I would say cellar temp. Yeah. I wouldn't do it a fridge temp.
No,
like a cellar
temp. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. That doesn't need to be.
It doesn't need to be.
Even room temperature.
No, it'll do fine at room temperature.
Yeah.
But you're right. You can serve it just a touch, like right out of the cellar. Mm. It's perfectly fine. Yeah. And this wine is made by Michael David Winery, and we've had many of their wines. And in fact, last week we had their Petite Petite. But it's under a different label.
Okay.
The Seven Deadly labels. And the winery describes the wine as being mostly Zinfandel with just a pinch of Petite Syrah. They do say,
not a skosh.
No, they actually said a touch.
Ah.
Which I found a little bit frustrating.
A touch.
What's a touch?
Is that a percent of it?
Exactly. What is a touch? Is it 1%? Is it 5%? I don't know. What's a touch?
I don't know.
It makes me mad.
I mean, it could be kind of like a pinch.
Yeah. You want a pinch?
But what's a pinch?
And then the other thing I find annoying is that the website only had the 2018 vintage. It didn't even have the 2019 vintage.
Oh.
So the Seven Deadly folks, whoever you are,
update their site.
You're bugging me.
Mm.
You need to update your site, like Carmela said, and you got to stop bugging me. But we're going to keep an open mind. We're going to try it. We're going to see what we think. And so I think, Carmela, we should try these wines. We should tell our friends out there in listening land what we think. What do you think?
I am so ready.
All right. Well, let's take a pause and we are going to try our first wine.
Okay.
Okay, we are back and we are ready to try our first wine. This is the Turley Juvenile Zinfandel. It's from California. It's kind of from all over California. This is a 2019. It was $20. Whoa. And we got it at the winery, but wine.com has it listed. It's not available, but it has it listed at $24.99. So that's if you're not on the wine list. Mm-hmm. It's 15.2% alcohol. So Carmela, we're gonna have to get rid of, or we're going to have to get used to some of these wines having a little bit of a higher alcohol point. Right. And again, Robert Parker gave it a 92 and Antonio Galloni gave it a 90. The one thing too, I'll say, like, these wines, I think they're very beautiful. The Turley bottles are cool.
I was going to say that.
But.
What? But the, what?
But they are terrible to cellar because they're just a weird shape. Yeah,
they're super cool. I love them. You can always spot a Turley bottle. Yeah. And they've got the really cool top. Mm-hmm. I love that little rounded top. And they just have the sleek little label. They're not trying very hard. Like, no. I mean, they're not over trying or whatever. They're just like, this is what we got. You're going to recognize this no matter what.
Yep.
Very pretty.
Okay. What are you smelling on this Zinfandel, Carmela?
Well, I'm getting some smoke. I am getting some like dark fruit.
Really? I'm getting a little bit lighter fruit, like a raspberry.
Oh, okay.
Maybe a plum, a little bit of plum.
Which kind of plum?
I think like a red plum.
I'm getting dark cherry. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I am getting some smoke, a little bit of earth or dirt on it. Hmm. Maybe a little bit of herby smell, like a little vegetal smell.
Okay.
Okay. Should we try it? Yes. Let's see what we think.
Ooh.
It's pretty tart.
It's tart and it's rich.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like I feel like coming in, like through my nostrils.
Really?
Yeah. Because you know, like a heater, like a little bit of, this is alcohol? A heater wine.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is going to warm you right up real quickly. But it is strong.
It's juicy. To me, it's a really juicy wine. It's got a lot of fruit up front, but it's nice fruit. It's a little bit of like, I think a little bit of strawberry almost, or like a red cherry, like a sweet red cherry.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? What do you think?
It's far tarter.
It's tart.
It's more tart than I expected.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still getting kind of a dark cherry, but it is more. I can definitely taste an underripe cherry too. I don't know.
And I think what's interesting too that I find about this wine is the front is really fruity and the back is more like complex. Like got some spice on it, some wood. It's really nice. I like it.
Yeah.
Of course, I like it. I'm being
a dork. Of course you like it, but this is kind of a punch you in the face.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a big, bold flavor to me.
It's a lot. I mean, I think if you like rich wines, you're going to like this wine.
Right. Like what are you going to eat with this?
Oh,
what
would steak. You and... This is a steak wine. Okay. I think when we had it this last weekend, your dad made a flank. Like a grilled flank, marinated grilled flank. That's perfect.
Mm.
Perfect for this wine.
Yeah. This is, I don't know if I had any last week. I don't think I drank it.
You may not have.
Yeah.
You may not have.
And this is definitely
exact wine, by the way. But
was it the Juvenile Grapes?
No. It was a different one of their other Zinfandels. Okay. But similar, right? Okay. There's some similarities.
Yeah, yeah.
What about you?
Well, no, I think that you'd have to have something big, like something that's going to stand up to this, or it's just going to get lost.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say probably something similar, like a steak, a roast, like a really delicious roast with lots of vegetables in a big chicken stock type, kind of a fall. I think this is a fall-winter wine. I know you guys drink it all year long, but...
See, I think it is too, but I honestly think it's a kind of a smoky barbecue wine too.
Okay.
Like I think you could totally have it with barbecue, tri-tip, something smoked, baby back ribs, beef ribs, I think smoked beef ribs, kind of that California barbecue, which is kind of, over a wood fire.
Wow. Yeah. You so love it.
I really do like it. Well, let's rate it and let's remind our listeners about our rating scale. So we rate on a scale of 1 to 10. There's no halves. You have to do a whole number.
All right.
7 and above means buy it. And 4 below means don't buy it. In fact, throw it down the sink. And a 5 or 6 means you can buy it.
If you're already buying it?
Then it's probably already at least a 7. But a 5 or 6 is like, we'll drink it. We'll finish it. But we're probably not going to buy it. Right. Okay. So what rating are you going to give this wine?
Well, I just, I think that I'm a little biased because we do have this wine a lot.
We have a lot of this
wine,
too.
We're pretty loyal to Turley.
Yep.
But it's not a go-to for me. It's not like a, but I'm going to buy it because you're going to buy it. I'm going to definitely give it an 8.
Oh, wow. Okay. I was expecting a 7. I'm giving it a 9. It's one of my favorite wines. I really do like their Juvenile quite a bit. I think this is a fun wine. I think it's an exciting wine. I think it's one that if you serve it to people, they're like, wow.
And there's a lot to talk about here.
Yeah. And to me, this is an underrated wine. This is a wine that people don't talk about. But if you got it, you'd be like, whoa, where did this wine come from?
Right, right. I feel like a lot of people would really love, like, there's an opportunity to talk about this wine. Mm-hmm. It's a new one to put on the bucket list. Like, if you're wanting to try a new wine, this is definitely one to do.
And, right, if you're going like, hey, we're going to go to California and do some wine tasting, like, try and find Turley.
Yes.
Like, it's worth seeking out.
It's a great spot, too.
Beautiful. Well, there's two. I think there's one up in Napa as well, but there's two tasting rooms.
Oh.
Yeah. So, okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
With Gnarly.
Gnarly.
Gnarly Dude.
Gnarly Dude. Okay, we are back, and we are ready to try our next wine. I will say, just going back really quickly, yes, two tasting rooms, one in Paso and one in Amador. So, there you go. All right, so our next wine is Gnarly Head Old Vine Zin. It's from Lodi, California. This is a 2021. Again, $6.99, and we got it at QFC, which is a local Kroger store, 14.5% alcohol, and as far as I know, 100% Zinfandel. And Carmela, what are you smelling?
Wow, it's different, very
quite different.
I almost feel like it smells like tree, but it could be because I'm looking at the...
the gnarly.
Yeah, like it's wood.
It's kind of a cool bottle,
yeah,
I think.
It is very, really cool. I like the artwork, but definitely earthy or wood...
Definitely getting wood.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm getting leather, too.
Okay.
I feel like I'm getting leather on this wine. I'm not getting a ton of fruit. I have to say, I'm not getting a ton
I'm
of fruit.
Either.
If it
What's
is,
the alcohol on this? I'm sorry.
14.5.
14.5, okay.
I think if I don't swirl it, I can kind of get a little bit of like a blackberry or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't swirl it
but
and
kind
smell
of the,
it.
Kind of the brambles.
Like bramble, yeah. That's the, like, it smells like the flower, or the... leaves.
Kind of dried up, you know, when you have that little bit of brown leaf still attached to the berry.
You know what I think I'm smelling then a little bit is fig.
Oh,
I think I'm getting a little fig on it now that you say that.
Yeah, like preserves, like fig preserves or a fresh fig?
No, I think more like, well, a little bit of both, but more like a really ripe fig or ripe preserves.
Okay.
Or fig preserves. Yeah, I think I'm getting that.
Okay.
And maybe a little peppery too. All right, let's taste it. Okay, this wine is much thinner than the Turley, don't you think?
It is.
Not nearly as much body.
No, not as complex, but it's tart.
It's tart. It's not quite as tart, I think, as the Turley is at the get-go.
No,
It tastes cherry, more like cherry licorice to me. Don't you get a little licorice-y kind of?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah. It is a little more candy, like a little artificial than the other one was a little more like juicy, fruity.
Yeah.
This is a little, I don't know, and it's so inexpensive.
And it really does like clean off the tongue really fast. I can't get like cherry licorice or something sweet, a sweet cherry kind of out of my mind. Maybe even a sweet raspberry or something. It's fruity. I mean, it's candy.
Yeah,
fruit.
A little more. Yeah. So you're not really, it's not staying in the mouth. It's not filling your mouth as much, but.
Although I am getting a little bit of like, I think I was smelling a little bit this too. I'm getting a little bit of sulfur on the end, like a little bit of struck, like a match that you just struck and blew out. Like I'm kind of getting a little bit of that and maybe some wood in it as well.
Okay. In the taste. Yeah.
On the back end, almost like a burnt wood, like. You know, like
Our pencil. I almost feel like there's a pencil taste behind it.
Pencil lead is is a good one. I'm getting like, you know, you're at a campfire and you've lit the and it's starting to smoke. I'm getting that kind of taste in my mouth. Okay. What food would you pair with this?
Well, again, I think you need to have something rich. I think you could do steak. I think you could do barbecue with this as well. Even like, I think this would be a good one to do like a, even like grilled veggies with too, you know, but with like a balsamic, marinade with it.
I like balsamic.
Yeah.
I like balsamic.
I think that would pair pretty nicely.
I think
so
too.
What do you think?
I'm wondering, I know I had that figgy kind of smell. Would you have like, you know, sometimes you do figs with balsamic on them.
Ooh.
Would you do that?
Totally.
Like, I think that actually be
with
pretty
like
good.
A nice cheese,
almost
part of the charcuterie board.
I think it'd be really nice.
Yeah, that would be good.
I think this is a little bit where the Turley, I felt like you could stand up to like big barbecue kind of stuff. I'm not sure this would stand up. It would do fine. It would do fine. It's just a different, different
experience.
It's a
little lighter
wine.
So you don't need to go all out on like have something really that can match it. So you could do, I think, as a charcuterie or an appetizer type of wine too.
Yeah.
So, not bad.
It's I think people would like it. It's not offensive at all. No. I think if you had a big party or something, like this would be a fine wine to serve.
And it actually might be more of a crowd pleaser, depending on who you're with. The other one's a great, I feel like, dinner party, almost like with a lot of people that you know their tastes a little bit and you really want to share that truly. Mm-hmm. This one, I think, is more like, hey, party wine. Everybody's pretty satisfied.
And having a good time.
Yeah.
What rating would you give this wine, Carmelita?
Well, see, I always struggle with this because I'm always thinking about, well, if I'm going to get a Zin and we have these three
You're going to get Turley. Okay, but objectively, let's say you didn't know.
Okay, but I didn't know. I never met Turley.
If you never met Mr. Old Turley.
What's his name? Larry Turley?
Larry. Hey, Larry.
I just pulled it right
up. What's up, Lair Bear?
Okay, so if that was not, you know, I think I'd give this one, I think I'd give it a 6.
Okay. You know, I kind of like it. I'm being generous. Right now, I'm going to give it a 7.
Okay.
I actually think I would buy it. I don't know if I'd serve it to your dad.
Well, look, $6.99.
Come on.
I mean, this is a good, solid wine, and it's $6.99.
Yeah, I agree. So that's why.
It's not $7. They gave it a $99.
Yeah, so it feels way cheaper.
Yeah, wow.
Like, if you said $7, I might be like, not going to do it. Yeah. But $6.99, hell yeah.
I'm in. I'm all in.
All right, well, we're going to try our last wine, and we're going to see if it changes our mind at all.
Okay.
All right. Okay, we are back and we are ready to try our last wine. This is the Seven Deadly Zins Old Vine Zinfandel. It's from Lodi, California. This is a 2019. $14.99 at QFC is how much it cost. QFC, again, a Kroger. 15% alcohol. And this is Zinfandel with a touch of Petit Syrah. Oh, but we don't know what a touch is.
A touch, a pinch.
What are you smelling, Carmela? Mm,
it's not as, there's not a huge bouquet on it compared to the other
two. Almost none.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of interesting. The Turley was just like smack you in the face.
Mm-hmm.
This one I'm getting lighter, like a raspberry. I mean, I'm getting a little fruit behind it. It doesn't have the smokiness, I don't think.
A little bit, like a touch of it.
Yeah.
Maybe like a match burn.
I'm actually getting like some rubbing alcohol on it. I don't know why, but a little bit of that.
It's, to me, it smells like it's going to be tart. Mm-hmm. Getting a little
and
bit
young,
of fruit.
It smells young. Yeah. Hmm.
And it's really got a faint, I'm smelling that astringency now too.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a faint berry kind of smell to it, but not a lot. Like there's not, you know what I was smelling before too? And this might be that. Astringency is potpourri, a potpourri spray.
Okay.
Like a flowery spray.
Just the spray, though, not a fresh flower.
No, you know that potpourri.
Right,
the spray.
Or dry? Are dry flowers potpourri dry? Or like actually?
No, I'm thinking about the spray.
Okay. I know you've said the spray several times now, but so you're thinking of the spray?
Yeah, like Brussels sprouts, the spray.
Wow. Okay.
Let's try.
Let's see if it changes our mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not dried flowers, spray.
Okay. The spray? Okay.
Don't you? Whew. Super tart.
Really tart.
Wow.
And it is sticking around. It fills the mouth and stays around. Ooh, you're like going to have lockjaw. Are you getting lockjaw now?
Okay, now compare this one to the Turley. Come on.
The Turley just, you know what? This sounds weird, but the Turley kind of smells expensive.
Oh, like me. Kind of smell expensive.
I never said that.
How about how our son, Mikey, he loves to like...
He smells expensive.
Guess what?
And he is
He does smell expensive.
Yeah, because
he doesn't buy like the knockoff, you know, stuff.
No, we tried. We tried to get him knockoff, remember?
And he was like, I liked it. And then he used it once.
It's never come out again.
I think all he's done is burn it.
He wore
like Sex Panther last night or something.
What?
I don't know, but it was expensive and it smelled.
It's called... You just said that.
I made it up.
You're going to have to bleep that out.
No, that's from Ron Burgundy.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah.
Okay, this wine does not smell or taste expensive.
It doesn't seem any... Well, maybe that skosh, that touch kind of messed it up. I don't know. But like, oh, God. This is not a good one for you.
No,
it's kind of vinegary.
And potpourri. It smells like I'm squirted potpourri into my mouth.
Ooh, not the dried stuff?
The spray! It's not good. I'm not drinking any more of it. It's not good. It's bad.
This is going down the sink.
Yeah, it's bad. Yeah. Don't you think it's bad? I think it's bad.
I feel like we've had this wine.
We probably...
Did we do this one before?
No, we've never done it before. I feel like I need a tongue scraper.
Are you sure?
Okay, I am sure.
Okay.
Maybe we have. I don't know. But I feel like I need a tongue scraper.
Mikey's got those too.
He's got everything. He's got a water pick.
He's got expensive taste.
And he does. And
a very clean mouth.
Jeez, thank God his parents are willing to throw money at him. I guess. Okay. What would you eat with this crappy wine?
Not a lot. I would probably not finish this.
No, clearly not. But would you eat it? I don't even know what would go with it.
You would want something that's going to disguise it or mask it. I don't know, honey.
Nothing. I think I would eat nothing with this wine. I don't think anything would pair with it.
Oh boy, the seven deadly zins.
Yeah, it's not getting a seven.
Going down the drain.
That's right. What rating would you give this piece of
Man, this is tough because this isn't my go-to, and then I'm not going to finish it. I'm not a big red wine gal, but I'm just kind of feeling like I'm not going to finish this. It's going down the sink.
Oof.
Can I pass it off to somebody? I don't know. Okay, so I would probably give it like a 4 or 3.
Even. You are such a nice grader. Well, I'm giving it a 2.
Oh my God. I'm giving
it
a 2.
It is bad. I'm sorry.
I mean,
if you like this wine, I'm sorry.
I feel bad for the deadly. I don't want it to die.
I'm mad at them. They made me mad from the get-go, and I apologize. Look, if you guys like this wine, please just take our taste as our taste. It's fine.
You might love it.
Yeah, and it's fine. But I'm going to say it's a bad wine. Yeah, it's bad. It's just not.
Okay, I'm going to give it a 3.
Okay. Gosh, a 3. Nice. Not just being nice. From a 4 to a 3 is being nice.
Well,
ladies and gentlemen, she went backwards and said it was nice. That's my life. That is my life right there. Okay, Carmela, which of these wines are you finishing tonight?
Oh, hands down, the Turley.
I know. It's kind of unfair. But the Gnarly Head, I'm saying it's pretty good.
If we didn't have that Turley, I would be, I'd be super happy with that Gnarly.
It kicks butt off of this one.
Totally.
I mean, it's not.
And
it's like,
again,
it stands
I kind
alone.
Of feel like they could serve different purposes. Like Turley,
you're
is
saying
big.
Between the Turley and the Gnarly
right,
Head,
right.
Not this.
No. Yeah. So this is if you want to commit the seven deadly sins, you might have this.
Oh God, gross. Yeah, like no. I don't know.
But I'm just thinking that the Turley is more. I think more intimate. Smaller group that you really want to talk about the
you
wine,
want to impress
enjoy.
Them. You
yeah,
want to impress
exactly.
Them.
You want to enjoy and talk about it. And whereas the other one's kind of a party wine.
But good party wine.
Yeah.
And
but
this
it's
last
not like
one it is kind of like a toilet bowl cleaner.
Ooh.
Okay, what do you think Zinfandel is underrated?
For sure. I mean, I don't really know what other people would say, but I do think not a lot of people go, not something they go for.
But here's the deal. If you started off with the seven deadly zins, people would go, it's not underrated, it's crap.
Right. That's
so I think you have to choose the right one.
So it's a little or a little inconsistent.
It's totally unpredictable and inconsistent,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the challenges. This is what I was worried about kind of from the get-go is like, it really depends on the producer. So to say some varietal is overrated or underrated is really hard to do because it's like a great varietal in bad hands is going to make something bad and vice
right.
versa.
Right. So,
anyway, let's talk about
two great recommendations.
Two really strong ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about the taste profiles expected from Zin.
Okay.
Wine Folly says blackberry, strawberry, peach preserves, cinnamon, and sweet tobacco.
Wow.
If it's from Lodi, Wine Folly says raspberry jam, peach preserves, blackberry bramble.
Peach. That's interesting.
Yeah. I wasn't getting a lot of peach. But blackberry bramble, which you were getting, hickory, and star anise.
Mm.
Now, the Turley, this is what the winery says. Bright, vibrant pepper and spice with lovely lifted red fruits, satiating acidity and a hint of blue fruits as well. And then Robert Parker said, medium ruby color, aromas of earth-laced red and black berries. That's totally what you got.
Yeah, well, no, you had that earth, too.
Mm-hmm. Palate is soft and alluring with a wealth of a ripe fruit and juicy acidity. We did say juicy too.
Mm-hmm.
Antonio Galloni said sleek, polished, and wonderfully nuanced.
Ah.
Crushed red berry fruit, spice, cedar, and leather.
Okay. You had leather.
Gnarly Head. The winery says Gnarly Head's untamed vines produce full flavored grapes dense with aromas of blackberry bramble, juicy plum, and toasted oak.
Nice.
Yeah, I think we did okay. Mm-hmm. For those who like unique big wines with a little eclectic edge, I agree. So this is what the winery said about Seven Deadly Zins. Full-bodied and seductive. Wrong. Jammy berry fruit. No. Leather, oak, and spice notes. Wrong. Dark fruits, currants, and toffee. Nope. And Fine House Wine says complex aromas of tart cherry. There's tart cherry for sure. Raspberry and caramel are wrapped in flavors of chocolate cake, vanilla oak spice, and plenty of wood smoke.
What are they drinking?
I don't know. Maybe it's because we had the Truly first, but I didn't get any of that. None of that like depth or subtlety or anything.
No,
like that.
Such unique flavors too that you would want think you could pin.
Totally. Yeah. Like, how do you not get chocolate cake?
And caramel.
And vanilla oak spice.
People.
Come on, peeps.
Hey.
Get with it. Okay, Carmella. Well,
that was fun.
We know what we like, and we apologize if we like what you don't like or you don't like what we like or whatever.
Giving you kind of a platform to decide for yourself.
We're not judging you.
Never.
Don't judge us. Okay.
You can judge us.
You can. Please judge us, actually. Okay, Carmella, it's just about time for us to go. But before we do, we want to thank you very much for listening to us. And if you haven't done so yet, now would be a really great time to subscribe and a great time to leave us a rating review. And we would really appreciate it.
Thank
you so much for doing that.
Nice.
Okay. And we'd love to hear from you. So you can leave a message for us on our website, thewinepairpodcast.com. You can email us at joe@thewinepairpodcast.com. And you can follow us on Instagram and you can follow us on Threads. At the Wine Pair Podcast, and post about us.
Do you remember
wherever you do it.
The homework this week was to just tell everybody.
Yeah, post.
Just be like Wine Pair Podcast. Wine Pair, everywhere you go.
Yeah, just no, but post it on your social media, right?
Yeah, post it. Send a post.
Post it. Okay.
Gnarly
post, dude. Okay. With that, we're gonna sign off. So thank you again, and we'll see you next time. And as we like to say, life is short. So stop drinking gnarly wine.
Well, no, we like the gnarly. Stop drinking seven deadly Zins wine.
Shitty wine. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. And the happy ending at the end of our story. I always think too much.